Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode here on Just Glow With It. And if you're new here, welcome. My name is Jasmine. I am a lifestyle content creator, certified life coach, and the host of this podcast that's dedicated to women in their 20s and 30s who love all things self-care, self-improvement, wellness, lifestyle, and everything in between. I hope you guys are having a great morning, a great start to your week whenever you're listening to this episode. I don't know what it is, but recently I've really been into this more softer, gentle conversations on the pod lately. I feel like every episode has a specific vibe to it. Like some episodes are more motivating and uplifting and kind of like let's make shit happen energy, and other episodes are more lighthearted and fun and feels like a casual conversation with your girlfriend. And then there are more of these healing conversations that feel like a voice hug, if you will. And lately I've just been leaning more into having these nurturing, healing, very therapeutic conversations. And maybe it's because those are the themes that have been the most present in my life lately and how I've been speaking more to myself in just a very gentle, kind, loving way. So that's kind of trickling on to the episodes. And with that being said, today's episode is another kind of conversation that's just very gentle, healing for those of us who are in our self-improvement era, which we will get into in a moment. But I was actually listening to this podcast episode that my friend Miriam put me on. And in it, they were talking about how you cannot hate yourself and heal at the same time. And this is something that I have struggled with so much, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate as well. I think sometimes we feel shame or guilt, or maybe we even cringe when we think about past versions of ourselves, things that we used to do, things we used to put up with, how we used to be, maybe things that we're not necessarily proud of. And I get that. Trust me, as someone who is a completely different person than who I was many, many years ago, I have the same sentiments. But something that's helped me come to terms with accepting parts of my journey that I don't necessarily love is reminding myself that I was once who I was because I had to be. That is who I needed to be in order to survive. And some of the experiences that I went through have shaped me into who I am today. And I'm proud of that version of me for doing what she needed to do to get through that, because she got through it. All versions of me, all versions of us are deserving of being loved and accepted, even if you have some not so proud moments. I think we can all relate to that. And reminding myself that I no longer have to be that version. I no longer have to be in survival mode, because we are no longer surviving. We are thriving and flourishing. Anyways, I say all this to say, as someone who is in their self-improvement journey, I feel like sometimes our desire for something different, for something new, whether it's changing ourselves, changing our lifestyle, changing our habits, whatever the case might be, can stem from a place of hating who we used to be and hating what our lives look like. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. However, I do feel like when it does stem from a place of deep-rooted shame and guilt and hate, that can also cause us to be really, really hard on ourselves in our self-improvement journey, to have unrealistic expectations, to feel like we're not doing enough, and to just really not have fun in this journey of improving ourselves. And granted, the journey of growth, the journey of self-improvement and personal development is definitely a difficult one and comes with challenges. But I also think there are moments in this journey that are fun and exciting and freeing and healing. But at the same time, we can also be our own biggest bullies, or like have tunnel vision and feel like we have to do things a certain way. We have to be a specific type of person. And if we don't meet all of these things on this checklist, then we're not doing enough. That's kind of what has inspired today's episode. It's more so just permission slips for you while on your self-improvement journey. These are all things that I wish I knew when I was first starting my self-improvement journey. I wish that I was given these permission slips and did not feel like I had to be perfect. My hopes for today's conversation is that you are able to cultivate a softer, more gentle relationship with yourself while in your self-improvement journey. I hope that you enjoy this episode. And if you do, I would so appreciate if you could give the podcast a 5-star review so that more people can discover this podcast. Share this episode on your Instagram stories, tag me in it so I can thank you for listening. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. So these are just things that I wish I knew before starting my self-improvement journey, but it's never too late to remind yourself of these things or to start practicing these things. And the first thing that I wish I knew when starting my self-improvement era is something that you guys actually reminded me of recently, so thank you very much, but it is that it's okay to show up imperfectly. So if you guys follow me on TikTok, or if you are in my coffee chats with Jazz broadcast channel, or even on my YouTube vlog, if you watched my most recent one that I put out today on Sunday, I shared how I am currently doing my version of the 75 soft challenge, where you commit to yourself for 75 days to show up for yourself and you do like a specific set of things. Now, there is a specific challenge when it comes to like the 75 soft challenge. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. I know it's like working out twice a day for 45 minutes, drinking a certain amount of water, reading or something like that. I'm not doing that challenge. I have created my own version of it, and my version of the 75 soft challenge is to start my morning doing my morning routine, not scrolling on social media, reading my daily devotional, doing my gratitude practice and affirmation practice, getting 10k steps a day, doing Pilates 3 times a week, and cooking home-cooked meals 5 times a week, and then posting on socials at least once a day, Monday through Friday. And with the socials thing, for me, I'm not really concerned with posting on like a specific platform or like on every single platform, as long as I post one piece of content Monday through Friday, because I want to give myself the weekend to like take a break. That is my goal. So basically, I've been doing this challenge and I feel really good. We successfully finished week one. However, the other day, I almost messed it up, or thought I messed it up. If you're in my coffee chats channel, you already know this story. But basically, the night before, I had a horrible, horrible, horrible night's sleep. The next morning, I woke up and I was so tired, you guys. I was so, so tired. But I still woke up and I got straight into my morning routine and I read my book, and then I actually did a meditation, ended up falling asleep while doing my meditation. And when I woke back up the second time, I was so groggy and delirious, and I grabbed my phone and I started scrolling. And after a few minutes of scrolling, it hit me that I did not complete my whole morning routine, which also includes doing my journaling. And I was like, holy crap, like I totally just effed up my challenge, and now I have to start over. Like, and I am such a person of integrity, like I really, really am. And I'm such a what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong type of person, and continuing on with my challenge knowing that I kind of messed it up. Well, I told you guys what happened, and I asked you guys, like, does this count? Like, did I mess this up, or do I get a pass? And like, is it okay for me to continue on with the challenge? Because I had shared with you guys that I was doing the challenge, and I didn't want to lie and like not share that I kind of had a slip up. And literally every single person was like, girl, you get a pass. Like, you showed up, and that's all that matters, even if it wasn't like perfect. Like, I think someone said consistency over perfection or something like that. And I'm like, y'all are so right. Like, here I am getting worked up because I didn't do my morning routine perfectly to the T. And I was not giving myself grace for the fact that I literally had a horrible night's sleep. I woke up feeling so tired and groggy. And despite feeling that way, I still got into my morning routine. I still read, I still meditated, and I just happened to fall asleep, and I was just not giving myself grace for being tired. And I just want to say, for everyone who told me like, you get a pass, girl, like you're fine, you showed up and that's all that matters, thank you so much. Because as much as I preach like, just show up even if it isn't perfect, I forget that it's okay to not do things perfectly. And that is something that I struggled with even now, but especially like at the beginning of my self-improvement journey. I felt if I don't do things perfectly every single time, then I'm not becoming better, like I'm failing at this. And that's so not true. It's not about doing things perfectly every single day. It's just about showing up every day in the way that you can. And sometimes that's showing up 30%, sometimes it's 50%, sometimes it's 200%. You're going to feel differently. There's going to be different circumstances, whether it's because you had a really bad night's sleep, or because you just came back from traveling, or maybe you have a lot going on at work. Like, there's always going to be something that affects the way that you show up for yourself. If I can ingrain anything in your mind, in your brain, in today's episode, it's it's okay to show up imperfectly. The second thing I wish I knew before entering my self-improvement era is that you can do it your own way, okay? Your self-improvement journey does not have to be or look a certain way. I know there's a certain aesthetic or a lifestyle that we think of when we think about like wellness and becoming that girl and all that. And don't get me wrong, there are definitely aspects about that that I personally like and aspire to, but then there are also some things that I will absolutely never be into, I will never do, I will never like, because I simply don't resonate with it. It will never be me. For example, I will never be a 100% clean girl, gluten-free, seed oil-free, dairy-free, process-free, vegan, matcha over coffee girly. Like, I'm so sorry about it, but that's never going to be me. It's not something that interests me. It's not something that I feel called to do. I genuinely don't want to be that person. Not that there's anything wrong if you are those things, but for me personally, it's just not my cup of tea. It just isn't. Yes, there are things that I do to help improve my lifestyle and live a healthier, quote unquote, healthier lifestyle, but I don't desire to reach that level, if you know what I mean. And when I first started this journey, I thought that I had to fit into that specific box. And if I didn't check off every single thing on that list, then again, that meant I wasn't good enough. And no, that's so silly and stupid, okay? Everyone is different, and there are going to be different reasons why people choose to live a certain way, have a specific diet, and that's okay. And I realized for me, when it comes to my self-improvement journey, what really matters for me is having balance in my life. I actually made a post about this a while ago on my TikTok where I said, maturing is realizing that having fun and enjoying yourself is just as important as working on yourself. I can enjoy a girl's night out and still make it to my 9 a.m. Pilates class the next day. I can be a wellness girly who doesn't restrict herself. I can enjoy self-help podcasts and also enjoy trashy reality TV. You get my point, right? I used to think that I had to be like this perfect clean girl, wellness girly who never ate anything processed, who never ate fast food, who worked out every single day and like used clean skincare and all that. And like, I get it. But somewhere along the way, I asked myself, is this something that I actually want? Or is it something that I feel like I have to be? And maybe it'll be different for you, but this is something that I wish I knew at the beginning, because like, even if you go on social media, on Pinterest, and you type in like healthy lifestyle or healthy habits or becoming that girl, oftentimes you will only see a specific aesthetic, a specific lifestyle. And it's so easy to assume that that's the only way to go about becoming the best version of yourself. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of tips. There's a lot of how-tos. There's a lot of this is how you should live your life. These are the habits you should practice. These are the things you should do, even for me as well. And what I will tell you is only take what resonates. Only take what feels right for you. You don't have to do anything that I tell you to do. You don't have to follow any of the advice that I give you or anyone else for that matter. What I love to do is take little bits and pieces from different resources, different people, books, podcasts, and take kind of what I love from like every little part and make my own journey, make my own thing. And that is what I have found has worked best for me. The third thing that I wish I knew before entering my self-improvement era is you're allowed to evolve into someone you've never been before, even if it makes other people uncomfortable. You're allowed to grow and change. You are allowed to reinvent yourself however many times you feel like it, because it is your life and you can do whatever you please with your life, as long as you aren't hurting anyone, of course, or like doing anything illegal. Just because you've always been a certain way or because your friends or family have always placed you in a certain box, that does not mean that you have to stay in that box. And sometimes when you start evolving away from who you used to be or how people are most comfortable knowing you as, that might trigger those closest to you, and for different reasons. Maybe it's because your growth highlights their stagnation, or maybe they're used to a certain version of you and feel uncomfortable with this unknown version of you, or maybe they benefited from the old you. A perfect example of this, and I've talked about this before, is how I used to be the quote-unquote therapist friend. And as the therapist friend, I didn't have any boundaries with myself or with my friends. I didn't know how to say no. I allowed my friends to use me as their emotional dumping ground. And the energy was never returned because I never asked for it. I never stated what I needed. And I always made it seem like I was available for people anytime, no matter what I was going through, and whatever I was going through didn't matter. I placed others above myself. And so once I started growing and evolving, I started to set boundaries. I started to recognize that being the therapist friend did more damage to me than anything. I started to say no. I started to prioritize myself a little more. And then all of a sudden, once I started to do what was best for me, then I became selfish. And oftentimes, when you do begin to grow and change, that is when people begin to say things like, oh, you've changed. Oh, you're different now. Oh, I liked you better before. And it's like, of course you did, because you're more comfortable with that version of me. You benefit more from me when I don't have boundaries and when I don't love myself. And this is why it's such a common theme to fall out with the people closest to us when you begin to evolve and grow. And this is definitely not always the case. If you're lucky, you will find those rare few people who have seen all stages of your journey and have loved and supported you through it all. I think I have one to maybe three people in my life who have known past versions of me, and they're still with me today, and they support and love me every step of the way, and they have never been offended when I set a boundary or when I started to put myself first. In fact, they celebrated me for it, and I'm so very much grateful for those very few people who have supported me along this journey of learning to love myself. And on that note, the next thing that I wish I knew is that it's okay to grieve the old, even if you know what's coming is better. And with change, with growth, means a lot of letting go to make space for new. And there is a grieving process that comes with that. And I feel like we do not talk about that enough. I feel like sometimes it's often glossed over. But also at the same time, I think it's important to give ourselves grace to grieve what was or what will never be, whether it's letting go of your old self to welcome in your new self, or letting go of old friendships that don't align anymore to make space for new and more aligned ones, or saying goodbye to one chapter to say hello to a new one. Even if there are parts of those things that you're letting go that you didn't like, that doesn't mean that it makes it any less harder. And that's actually the season that I'm currently in right now. As excited and as grateful as I am to be in this season of growth and welcoming new experiences and people and finally seeing the fruits of my labor and the things that I've been working for, that has not come at the cost of losing friendships that I thought were solid and that I would have forever, or having to change old patterns and beliefs that I felt comfortable in, and also just missing the simplicity of my old life. And I'm reminding myself that I can feel both happy and sad. And while I would love for certain things in my life to stay the same, I understand why certain things have to change. Okay, I think the next one is my fifth thing that I wish I knew, but it's okay to want more for yourself. And this is something that I wish I would have learned earlier for two reasons. One, it would have helped me find gratitude for where I was while working towards something else or something better. And secondly, it would have helped me not feel guilty for wanting more or better for myself. What I've learned is that when you want more for yourself, when you want better, when you want to change some aspect of yourself or your life, this is going to bring up limiting beliefs that you didn't even know you had. Wanting more for yourself doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you ungrateful. And I actually see a lot of this happening, or a lot of this guilt happening, when it comes to money and material things, especially if you grew up a certain way or with your family having certain beliefs or experiences around money. This doesn't have to apply to just money or material things. It's just very prominent when it comes to those aspects, I have found. Also, on the topic of feeling guilty, if it's like internal guilt that you're feeling yourself, that definitely requires doing some deep inner work, rewiring of certain beliefs, and like really getting to the root of why you feel guilty for wanting more for yourself. But if it's an instance where like other people are trying to make you feel guilty for wanting better for yourself, that is when boundaries need to be set up in place so that you can protect your peace of mind and not let other people's insecurities or projections be placed onto you. Okay, so the next thing that I wish I knew early on is that it's okay to have rot days sometimes, okay? And this is kind of going back to my point about doing it your own way. Sometimes it's okay to have a day where you don't stick to your routine, where you stay in your pajamas and bed all day and binge watch your favorite show while you wait on your Uber Eats. Like, we don't have to be this productive machine every day. We're quite literally human beings who need rest and downtime, and having a rot day is okay. And sometimes those moments are necessary. And I think when rot days are done intentionally, I feel like those days can be so rejuvenating and actually motivate you even more versus like burning yourself out trying to maintain something that is not realistic and then being forced to rest and then having a harder time kind of getting back to it. So I have been giving myself at least one rot day a week. Sometimes it's even more depending on the week. But I have just found like giving myself this permission to relax, to be lazy, to do nothing, to do whatever I feel like doing, even if it's not productive, has been so rejuvenating, so motivating. And then the next day, I feel even more inspired and more motivated to be productive and like get things done because I gave myself that time to relax and just do nothing. Okay, and the last thing that I wish I knew early on in my self-improvement era, when starting my self-improvement era, I should say, is that it's okay to say yes to yourself, even if it means saying no to others. And this is something that I personally struggled with, just as being the oldest sister, the oldest daughter, the oldest cousin, like from a very young age have been placed with a lot of responsibility, and I never really had the option to say no to things. So I feel obligated to a lot of things, and it's something that I'm working on to this day. Like with being the oldest sister, I always feel obligated to my siblings because I want to be there for them the way that I wish I had someone be there for me. And for the most part, I definitely am there for my sisters. I feel like I'm a great big sister, if you ask me, but I can't lie. There are times when maybe one of my sisters will call me when I'm in the middle of having a mental breakdown, and I will absolutely ignore their call. Absolutely. And I used to feel so guilty about doing this, but I've learned that it's okay to say no to others if I don't have the capacity to say yes at the moment. And of course, I don't ignore them forever. Usually I get back to them once I'm better. Also, something that I realized is that I want to be able to be present for them. So rather than being irritated or distracted and answering while I'm in the middle of a mental breakdown, it's better for me to let myself feel, do what I need to do, and then get back to them when I'm in a better state, not only for myself, but for them too. Being in a self-improvement era requires a lot of discipline, a lot of sacrifice, just focusing on yourself, having to move differently, having to change your habits. Like, you really have to stay focused in this era and not get distracted. And it's so easy to get distracted easily. So one thing I'm learning to ask myself is, does saying yes to this person mean that I have to say no to me? And I will say, sometimes it's okay to say no to yourself. Like, for example, let's say I have plans on catching up on some work that isn't urgent or anything like that. Like, it's just work I want to catch up on. But my friend is having a literal crisis. Yes, in that moment, I feel it's okay to say no to myself because I'm not really hurting myself by not catching up on this work that wasn't even urgent in the first place. But saying no to my friend who is in a crisis might cause more damage. You know what I mean? And personally, I would feel better saying no to myself in that moment and showing up for my friend when they need me. But if it's like a situation where, like I was saying, I'm having a hard mental health day and my sister calls me to show me her, I don't know, new sticker collection. In that moment, I do feel it's okay to say no to her, and I will get back to her at a later time that works better for me. So it really is just about navigating like the situation, because every situation is different, and it's not permission slip to be like super selfish and say F everybody else. Unless you want to do that, then do you. But I definitely think that like circumstances are different, and you know, like if there are people in your life that you love and that you care about, it's important to make time and space for them, as long as you're not saying no to yourself in a way that's going to be detrimental to your well-being. And I think that's the key, and that's what I'm learning, because I definitely had a phase where I did not know how to say no to others, but then I swung on the opposite side of the spectrum and I said no to everybody all the time, to the point where it was just extremely selfish, and now I'm like finding the balance. So that's just like my take on that. But anyways, you guys, these are all the things that I wish I knew at the very beginning of entering my self-improvement era. And these are just things that you really don't know until you are in it. But whether you are just starting your self-improvement era, you've been in it for a while, a few months, a few years, I feel like it's never too late to learn these things. I hope that with me sharing these things, it makes your self-improvement journey a little bit easier, because it can get rough out here, but we're doing this together. And the work, something that I always say is, as much as doing this work is so irritating sometimes and so annoying, to me, it is always worth it. It is always worth it in the end. So anyways, I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, you already know what to do. And that is really all I have to say. So as always, until next time, remember to just glow with it.